sermon text today from the Gospel reading. His parents went to Jerusalem every year for the feast of the Passover. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Happy New Year to everyone. We have launched ourselves into a new year, and the tide of history is not slowing down. It's pulling us all right along. We know that, obviously, we're in history, and yet for each and every one of us, this time that we are living in is our time. It is now for us. And as the cliche goes, the more things change, the more things stay the same. The difference between the San Francisco earthquake and the Chicago fire and our natural disasters is perhaps one of scale and distance in time, but to towns north of Denver who recently were raging with fire and southern states racked by high winds and tornadoes, all the devastation is just as tragic. And there has never been a time in the world since Cain killed Abel where man's own inhumanity to man hasn't raged through the globe. And just as Abel's parents wept at the death of their son, so too may today do countless mothers and fathers weep at the death of their children. And many mourn preemptively at the massing of armies upon border after border throughout the globe. Mankind looks to a political system to fix our problems and our troubles, and the devotees of the isms, the capitalisms, the fascisms, the socialisms, the communisms, and a host of other political forms preach their message of the ability of their way of thinking to fix the world's problems. I have, though, concluded that it's not the ism that's the problem or the issue or that what people don't understand, but rather it's the anthropology. Any political system would work if people were by nature good. We are not good by nature. By nature, we're self-centered, self-absorbed, self-concerned. And yes, Virginia, there is evil in the world, and there is wickedness in the world. And sometimes well-meaning people end up becoming tyrants. The fact is, humanity is broken. And we of the church call this brokenness sin. This brokenness is the reason that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. This brokenness is why Jesus left His place in heaven to begin His journey here on earth. And Luke's gospel is a narrative of that journey of Jesus Christ from heaven to earth and back to heaven. Jesus' arrival is announced by the angels. In His incarnation, He descends from heaven to become one of us. He lives among us as a teacher, a miracle worker, a prophet, a savior. He comes to die our death on the cross, to be buried in the earth, to rise on the third day and ascend back to heaven on the 40th day. That's Jesus' journey, and the Nicene Creed captures it for us. Incarnate by the Holy Spirit, was made man, was crucified for us, suffered, and was buried. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven. Jesus of Nazareth is Israel, the nation of Israel, reduced to and condensed into one man, one person. Jesus lives out Israel's journey in the Exodus. Remember Israel's journeys? The prophets' journeys? None of the journeys were done by the will of man. The journeys are not self-initiated trips, but they are responses to God's call. Travels under God's guidance aim to the destination that God designates. Israel's journey to the Promised Land was replayed every year at the Passover as Israelites from around the world journeyed to Jerusalem to eat a lamb that had been sacrificed in the temple at the altar where God's presence was. Jesus and His family went to Jerusalem. They went to church, just like you go to church. Going to church isn't your idea. As with all true God-directed journeys, you are called to church by the Holy Spirit. Your presence here at worship is a response to the call of God in your life, and your journey is under God's guidance. Your life is aimed at the destination that God has designated for you. And that destination that you are headed to is heaven. Your entire Christian life is a journey to the New Jerusalem. Your entire Christian life is a journey following Christ into the heavenly sanctuary. And you are like the saints of old, as it is written in the book of Hebrews. These all died in faith, not having received the things that were promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Your life itself is a journey from birth to death. And for the Christian, a life, your life, is a pilgrimage from baptism to death. Death which becomes for you the entrance into eternity. In the waters of holy baptism, the Christian gets death over with first as they die with Christ and are reborn to new life. A life in Christ that never ends. And as you are on your journey to full communion with Christ in heaven, you live under the cross. Under the cross, you continually live in Christ. As you hear Christ's holy word, you feed upon Christ's holy food, the food that sustains you for the journey that you are now on. As the Holy Family understood, and as our families understand, worship is where we are fed with God's word, and we are also fed with God's food, which is the sacrament of the altar, His food for your journey. And that is what makes worship so absolutely vital and central to your life in Christ. Like the people we use as examples in the Old Testament, and like Jesus' apostles, we are all, each and every one of us, called to follow Jesus. And your assembling together as the people of God is also commanded by God. Without the divine service, without our gathering together, religious life, I am afraid, sadly, would become reduced to spiritual platitudes posted on social media, rather than receiving the sacrament of the altar for the strengthening of your faith and the forgiveness of your sins. And while a service online is nice to have in extenuating circumstances such as illness or work or inclement weather, the spiritual and uncomfortable truth for each and every one of us is that you can be in worship and not be a believer. And unless you are shut in or otherwise unable to attend, you can't be a believer and not be in worship. Being in worship is not a self-initiated trip. Being in worship is a response to God's call in your life. A God's call under God's guidance toward a destination that God designates. And journeys outside of corporate worship are self-initiated journeys. They are not initiated by Christ. And I am fearful that self-initiated journeys are ones that end up making people feel good about themselves, but unfortunately are not aimed at a heavenly destination. They are aimed at a much lower destination. Jesus was in His Father's house. He who in His flesh is the temple. Remember what Jesus said? Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again. He who Himself is the temple understood what it was to be in worship, understood what it was to receive the gifts of God. He Himself said, I have to be about my Father's business. Even then, at 12 years old, He was taking up His cross and following the command of His Father. Jesus is truly God with us and God for us. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot read your hearts and I cannot read your minds any more than you can read my mind or you can read my heart. What I do know is that the world outside of these doors is the world as it has always been. It is a world that is hostile to the one true God. And I know that Satan is working very hard to wreck the faith that you have and to steal your eternal salvation from you and to remove you from your journey to your heavenly home. I also know that here in these walls, in this house. Here is the place where we're fed for eternal life. Here is the place where we learn to bear one another up rather than tear one another down. And so let's follow the example of our Lord and our Savior. Let's be in our Father's house. And let's here be strengthened to go outside of these doors and pick up our own crosses and follow Jesus on our own journey. In Christ's holy name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds to the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.